Cool.
Anyway, so yeah, my parents divorced when I was really young. Jesus, like, it's kind of, it was really ugly. There's a lot of ugliness, you know, and I don't remember a lot of it. I remember a lot of the feelings. Just a lot of, you know, I was kind of raised viewing a lot of, like, mistreatment, and it's kind of weird. It's just kind of normal when you're young. It's just all you know, and it's kind of like okay, now I look back, and it's kind of like you can say it had a more significant role than you realize when you're young, whatever. And so I guess I'm just trying to frame everything else from that. But I had a lot of like issues, you know, and I acted out a lot, and I was a fucked up little kid, you know, and I was really little. My name was Franklin, and you know, it still is, and you know, and I remember the first couple of memories was going to school and getting like, I remember my first day of school, I get to class and I'm trying to sit down, and you know, as I'm sitting down, this kid pulls a chair out from under me, and I, you know, I hit the floor, and I just take my marker and I draw all over his shirt, and like, and this kid was like such a little, I think his dad owned a dealership. He was just like that typical kid. He'd bring in like VHS tapes of his dad, like, you know, like on his commercials. That's kind of like a side note, but anyway. But, like, I don't know, I immediately would get picked on a little bit, you know. I remember, like, there was one time when we were on a bus, and I think for some reason, I don't remember picking my nose, but everybody started chanting, you know, Franklin picks his nose, Franklin, you know, like, stuff like that. And then I realized, you know, like, I would start to get, I don't know if it was because of my name or what, but, you know, I would get picked on a little bit, and then I noticed I was little, but I was stronger than like everybody, and I would start to like, it's kind of a funny picture, like I'd start to bully kids and get in fights, and I liked to fight, and from a young age, you know, I liked being rough, and if somebody, and I knew like I could be, I had a hard head, like I could hit my head and it wouldn't hurt, so I could just use that, and I could just be like, if a kid was going to tell on me, I'd like bend his wrist back until he said he wouldn't tell on me, or whatever. I was just like, I had issues, you know, and I'd act out a lot, and at the same time, I was extremely lonely. My family was falling apart. My mother and father, you know, there was like cops coming to the house, and a lot of stuff, and honestly, I was on my own. You know, I didn't have anybody to turn to. They're both, my mom and my dad were kind of being very, you know, in therapy later. I became my own parent or whatever. It's kind of like a thing, and it was up to me, you know, and I decided, you know, I always had like a hope they'd get back together, but I knew they wouldn't, and it's just all this pain and hurt just kind of got perverted and distorted and turned out into weird behavior. And I would always, you know, be that kid that would have to go to see like the school psychologist, and I would be trying to like just be in class and then knock on the door, all right, you ready, Frank? Let's go. And like in front of everybody, I'm just like, oh my God, it's like not a good look, you know, to be going to the school psychologist. You're like labeled the fucked up kid, you know. And so anyway, I've always been a little different. I've always kind of been like, was like a class clown or whatever. And I remember also I was just really lonely all the time, you know, like I'd have friends come over, you know, when I was like in kindergarten or first grade, and then they would leave, and I'd just be like, oh my God, like I'd start crying, be like, Danny, or whoever, like, they're gone, like, I'm so lonely, you know, and, like, I'd just be so lonely, and I'd get friends, and I would, like, I remember, like, there was one friend, his name was Gregory Blackman, he was really even shorter than me, and he was, like, my little buddy, and I was like, Gregory, you know, like, it was, like, a guy, and I'd put my arm around him, and he'd just always be, like, ugh, like, squirting, like, it's kind of like when you get a cat, and you're holding it, and you know the cat doesn't want to be held, and it's trying to get away, and that's kind of how I was with like friendships and stuff. And then I met my best friend in third grade. His parents were divorced, and he was kind of weird, and we kind of like became best friends, and we would do all types of fucked up shit together, and we just kind of got each other. We accelerated each other. We started, for some reason, we were like in third. I was always really precocious. We'd always be talking about like for some reason, it got in my mind like I needed to like start having sex like when I was like in second or third grade, like or think about it. Yeah, like I'm trying to get laid out here, you know, like. You know, like, just stupid, like, trying to look at porn, calling sex lines, you know, like, just addictive shit, you know, and all these girls are prude, man, and, like, being, like, haven't even gone through puberty yet, you know, it's just kind of, like, just thinking about, it's just super addictive. Like, the first time I saw, like, a porn magazine, it was, like, my pupils got big, and it was just, like a hit of crack, you know, and that was maybe, like, that was before I even found drugs, and I guess I'm just kind of really trying to frame it like drugs and alcohol is just like, it's a side effect of being an alcoholic, you know? Like, I feel like people are alcoholics before they knew what alcohol, before alcohol even existed, there's alcoholics, you know, and drug addicts. They just didn't have it. I was just born that way. So I really started drinking very young. Like, it wasn't a pure, I was, no one drank in my class. I went to, I think the first time I had to move, I started going to Catholic school. Nobody drank, and I was just really dead set on drinking and like getting fucked up. And I remember the first time I drank, I was in fifth grade, and I've heard someone describe it like this. I'm kind of stealing it, but the first time they drank, they had that feeling of like it was just like, fuck, like it maybe like all this tension I didn't even know I was holding on to my whole life just like slipped off, you know, and I didn't feel lonely anymore, and I'm sure I felt like I was kind of funny, but I'm sure I was really like a really annoying 12-year-old boy, you know, they're annoying enough as it is, they don't need help, it's a really annoying age, so I just, you know, I felt great, and then I got a it was like a crazy hangover or whatever. I don't know if I didn't drink enough water or whatever, but I didn't drink again for a while. And then I remember my family went to Mexico, and I decided, you know, like, I'm going to start drinking again. And I remember I drank, like, I would count them shots of tequila I had. I think I was in sixth grade, and I would have, like, four, and I'd be like, okay, that's my limit or whatever. And then I remember, like, watching, like, a paraglot, like, I don't know, whatever the sailor, like it's like a surfboard of the sail. I remember watching that, and it was like started to go double, and I was like, this is great. And then I was like, I puked in the sand, and I started laughing. I was like, somebody's going to step in that sometime. And then like I just remember, but then I couldn't even control myself, because I remember I spilled this like Marine's drink one time, like on that trip, and he got like, he was drunk and got mad at me. I was just like a little like sixth grade kid drinking around adults, because it's Mexico, it didn't matter. I spilled a drink, and he goes, hey, you spilled a drink. I was like, yeah, you're trying to come on to me, so I fucking knocked your drink over. And he's like, what? And then I remember he like picked me up by my neck, and I'm just like, whoa. Like, and I don't know, I'm just, then I remember waking up in a bird cage, like a giant bird cage, like hungover and or drunk and getting led back. And then I got back and I was like, okay, drinking's great, you know. And then I remember I just started drinking a lot of vodka by myself at my parents' house. And I got alcohol poisoning, and I woke up like, you know, just covered in vomit and just having to clean it. And just stuff like that. And I didn't drink with anybody. I drank alone, because I really, it wasn't about trying to fit in. It was about not feeling my feelings. And then I guess I'll try to speed up. I feel like I'm really, really going slow through the years. So anyway, I started getting in trouble. Like, I didn't really know how to drink yet. I snuck some vodka in a movie theater in like a Tupperware container, which is really stupid. I didn't have like anything else. Put like a Tupperware container in my jacket and just poured it in my drink and drank it, and I got blackout drunk, and I eventually got alcohol poisoning in the movie theater, and like paramedics, ambulances came. Like, everybody knew, like, I'd always been the fucked up kid without alcohol or drugs, but everybody knew, and, like, I was playing football. I don't know. I was, like, an athlete or whatever. Like, I guess if you're, like, count being a sixth grader. But I was on, like, the football team and the baseball team and stuff, and, like, I just remember everybody giving me shit, and I couldn't hang out with anybody, you know, and, like, I remember the coach was like, hey, I remember the first day of practice after that, like, I came back, and we were running laps, and I puked, and one of the coaches was like, hey, too much partying, Heatley? You know, like I was just kind of, like, stigmaed, and then I eventually, I don't know, like, later on, I started smoking weed, and I started smoking weed, and then I got kicked out of my Catholic school, I got arrested, and, at school, because I brought drugs to school, and somebody narked me out, and I got arrested, and then I went to public school, which was great, because, you know, really, like, it was the first time I was around people that I could relate to, and I was, like, you know, like, I just felt at home, like, I could, there's other people that were like me, you know, and so I started, you know, getting into, like, more drugs and different types of drugs, and then I had to go to, like, some rehab stuff in eighth grade because of, like, I was on probation. And, you know, I met some cool, like, high school kids and sell me acid and other things. And I started getting into pills and just really drinking a lot, too, you know. And I just remember, like drinking a lot and then, like, waking up on my floor and then about to go to school. I'd be like, cool. Like, that's, I don't know, for some reason, like, I thought it was cool, and I just remember, like, getting really, like, going to the woods, and just, like, I remember my friend had a bottle, I didn't even know what Jameson was, I didn't know it was, like, good whiskey, it was just, like, Irish whiskey. I was like, fucking Irish whiskey, what the fuck, like, why don't you just have vodka or something, and, like, we chugged a whole bottle of Jameson in the woods, and threw it up. The whole bottom between two little, like, 100-pound kids, we threw it up, and then I went to school sober, you know, like, I don't know. And then eventually, like, things just more and more drugs, and then in high school, I slowly started to unravel, like, my identity. I always kind of felt like I liked myself in a weird way. Like, I kind of liked who I was, and I kind of thought I was funny or cool or something, and all that kind of went away. The more drugs I did and the more everything, my whole, like, I think it was also aided by the fact that, and I'm kind of not really describing enough, but I was really, 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 like, emotionally fucked up, you know, really fucked up. Like, I, you know, had some, like, suicide attempt stuff, like, I'd always been in just some shit, you know, and I think that really, you know, people say, like, drugs were a part of my story, like, they really accelerated my drinking and helped me get in here fast. Like, I feel that way, like, being just, like, fucked up emotionally accelerated everything, just because it made me drink precocious, it made me use just even harder. I know a lot of kids maybe can relate to that in a young people's meeting, because it's a lot of, like, crossover stuff where it's not just like, oh, you know, I started drinking in the Navy and then drank for 50 years and, you know, that's kind of like, you know, that's kind of high-functioning stuff. There's not very many high-functioning people in here, like, because you're all here and you're so young, like myself. And I'm extremely low-functioning. Just as a person, you know, somebody has to die before, like, I'll get into that later, but, dun, dun, dun. But, anyway, so, pretty much, I just hated myself, and whatever shred of dignity I have would just got eroded, and by the time I had just turned 17, I was on probation again. I couldn't stop getting in trouble with the police, and my best friend, he was on probation. We were all on probation, and And so he got sent by the judge to, I was in Kansas City, he got sent to a place in St. Louis, who's like a rehab, and he was like, he just disappeared, you know, and he was like, and I was like, okay, that's interesting, and he was like, yeah, it's great, like, I'm not on probation anymore, I can just, I'm just here, you know, I'm in St. Louis, I don't have to go to school, I don't have any responsibilities, it's amazing, and I was like, really, that sounds great, and I was on probation, I was never going to get off, I felt like I was never going to get off probation, because you had to have, like, C's or above to get off probation, and I couldn't get that, so I was just going to be on forever, and I was still using, and I was still getting drug tested, and I had to do all these creative maneuvering just to get clean urine inside the cup, and it was like just such a hassle, and you know, just involved a lot of like condoms filled with piss, duct tape to my armpit, and just crazy shit, you know, that you just, and it's fine, you know, it's fine that you do that, because you just want to keep using, and I got tired, so I decided, you know, I'm going to go to St. Louis, I'm going to get off probation, they let you off, or you just ride it out, and you're going to go here, and I'm going to try to, like, still get high and stuff, and I go there, and I thought it was going to be like any other rehab, but it's not, it was kind of like a cult, but everybody was pretty much sober. How much time? I got 7 minutes. Wow. Everybody was sober, like really sober. And they all like would say, I love you. And they would give you hugs. And I was and it was kind of weird. And they all had these things, these leather things. They called them fists. They're called like a monkey's fist. It's like a sailor knot around like a ball. And everybody wore these leather things. And the staff, the counselors, they had these, but they were white. And they all had like long hair. And they liked like the Black Crows, and they're all from like Arizona. It's so weird. And so like So I go there and just everybody's talking, and at this point I'm scared of everybody. And I got high, like I brought weed with me, and I told my mom, I was like, we should go to a park, you know, and like, whatever. And I got high, and I go there to like a meeting, and I'm scared of everybody. And there's like four, it's like a young people's thing. This 14-year-old girl comes up, she's like, hey, how are you? I just turned 17. I'm just like, like I was even scared of this like girl that was 14 and just like. Like a little, like, little, you know, whatever. She was just young, and I shouldn't be intimidated by her. And I was very, like, scared of everybody. And so I just like go there, and I'm just like, oh, this is so weird. And I end up moving to St. Louis, and it was great. I didn't have any. I like never saw any of my friends again, at all. Like everybody that I went to school with, and everybody I was close with, like. I never talked to any of them again, ever, which is very, I didn't really give a shit, you know, I don't know why, it felt so good to start over, and I never used again, and I almost did a couple times, but I never had picked up since, and I think I just saw a chance, I was so miserable, I think I saw a chance, and so I spent some time in this rehab, and things were good, and then they got worse, and I got really, like, things got really dark, and, like, just around that time, like, all my best friend was there, and they all kind of left around the same time and started shooting heroin, you know, like, all my friends just became junkies, and some of them died, and I never left, I don't know why, you know, they had better programs than me, you know, they had more sponsees, they sounded better, they would... You know, they just all became junkies, and I don't know why I never did, you know, and I remember there was one night that I think I was able, because when you're young, you hit an if you don't hit that, there's certain bottoms you don't hit when you're 17, you know, I'm sorry, but for the most part, if you drink for 40 years, you're going to hit that bottom that you're not going to get. When you're 17, 16, you know, you're gonna hit some bottoms in sobriety, you know. And that happened to me. I remember one night I had this like thing. It was just like a fight, and then with my friend, and then who was like my brother, and he was not shooting heroin, and And we had this like argument, and we almost got like in a fist fight, and then I look in the mirror later in the bathroom and I just see myself, and I'm just like, I spit in the mirror, which is something I always did. I'd always spit in the mirror when I'd get drunk. My mom would be like, why is there always spit on the mirror? You know, like, what is this? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. But I'd always spit in the mirror, but that was enough. And I just started teeing off on myself. I hit myself, I don't know, like 20 times, just like in a flurry. And I felt my just face get bigger, and I could see my eyes, like my cheeks or whatever, started swelling. I could see them, and just like, I was driving, like, and, like, wanted to hit a car, like, another car or something, and I was just really upset, and I, that was kind of, like, my beginning of, like, my real bottom in sobriety, where I couldn't run anymore, and this, just the steps weren't working for me anymore. Like, I didn't have enough trust, like, intrinsically inside me to have a relationship with God, so I started doing therapy, you know, And I did therapy for, like, intense psychotherapy for, like, for five years, 3 times a week, 4 minutes. Here we go. And so that helped a lot. That helped a lot. I wouldn't be here without it. It helped me kind of, you go around, you reach the lexicon, and then you come back or something. It helped me, and it helped me gain some sort of trust that I wasn't able to have. You have to have a base level of trust to be sober. I don't care, you know. Like, there's some people that are constitutionally incapable. Some people think that's like bullshit, but I don't know. You know, like, I had to get outside help, and I wouldn't be here without it. And I think that's why I'm still here, and I think that's why I'm lucky, because I don't work the best program. Maybe I work a shitty program. I don't know. You know, I don't work the best program, but I'm still here, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because of that. Maybe it's I had this. I really. Maybe it's because I'm not well enough, because I really, 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 really don't want to go back to who that person was. You know, like, this is like a second chance, And no matter how shitty it is and how shitty I feel sometimes, it's just, like, better. You know, it's really my only shot. And so I get done with that, and the whole time, you know, I'm just, like, I get done with therapy, and it's, like, when I get done with therapy, the alcoholic inside of me is, like, hey, good job, you're done with therapy. Still an alcoholic, you know? And you know, so really all therapy really does is just, like, sharpen me up and get me able to do the steps. And it's spiritual. The steps are spiritual. And I did a couple years, you know, where maybe I don't really feel like going to AA. And maybe I don't really relate to people. And the meeting gets out, and the people are talking to each other. And I just would like to be somewhere else, you know. I'm just kind of like, all right, I just didn't relate to people, and maybe I was, felt like I was too cool, or something. And then, but it's more that, because being sober is never going to be cool, you know, because being cool is reckless. There's like a recklessness that you have to be cool when you're sober. You're like, no, I better take care of myself. Like, I don't, you know, I need to go to sleep early. I need to get this, you know, got a job interview tomorrow. You know, like, you know, I feel like it transcends cool. It's one of my, I don't really hear it in New York, but people would always say, your party's over, my party's over. You know, there's so much I miss out on, you know, and there's so much networking, there's so much great things, and that I'm missing out on, you know. You know, but my party's over because I gave that up, and I'm not really missing out on anything, because I couldn't take advantage of that shit that I'd be missing out on, because I would be getting probably too drunk, or I would just, I'm not missing out on anything. This is my best shot, you know, this is my best shot. I work creatively, and everybody gets drunk, and maybe I'm missing out, but this is my best shot to be who I am, and And it's okay, you know, and whatever. I just wanted to say that I was out. I wasn't in it, like, going to meetings, and my father died, and then I couldn't handle that by myself, you know. And I was great. I was amazing during horrible situations. You know, I was there. Then I decided to break up with my girlfriend, and then I decided to, okay, I should probably go to AA again, you know, and I started doing that, and it's been about a couple of years that I've been back, like, and it's been great, and what I'm realizing is it's okay to have a relationship with God or to try to, like, believe in God. And it, even though it goes against maybe how I feel, like, naturally, it's okay to get involved, and it's okay to be in AA, you know. And it's not cool or uncool. It's just necessary for me. And because I'm just like I said, I'm a low functioning human being, and I'm just really, I have a hard enough time, like, sober, working the steps, you know. And if anybody feels, like, fucking shitty, you know, just wait. This weather is just fucked up. And it's not supposed to go on this long. And it's okay, you know. I guess also I just want to say something about service. And it's just really taking yourself out of the equation is the only way to clearly see any type of solution. And actually, thinking about yourself less is much more efficient in your own life. Deciding, like, what am I going to do? What school am I going to go to? What's my next career path choice? You know, when you're thinking about yourself over and over again, that's so clouded, and sometimes getting outside yourself and helping somebody else, it clears some sort of jam or roadblock or some sort of invisibility cloak you put over, like, your next solution. Like, it just works. It gives you some sort of focus that you may not have before. And it doesn't make any sense, you know, because you're supposed to, like, latch on to yourself and what you're doing. But it's not as efficient, you know, I don't know. That's just something for service, and commitments work too. So, thanks.